This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
My worst f-ing nightmare. You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app, now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan, PJ Carlissimo, potentially could join us later in the hour. The NBA Finals is now officially behind us. No one's surprised. Golden State winning in five. And
you can't beat that team, man.
You can't beat that team. And this is what we talked about earlier in the day.
Talked about it before. Cleveland dummied the East.
Yeah.
For fun. And then got dummied.
They went 12-1 against the East. The one game they lost, they were up by 20 plus, and they took their foot off the gas and said, "Go ahead, Boston.
But do you
give yourself a game. Give yourself a win." It's like an Oprah giveaway.
Do you not think that Cleveland looked like Toronto last night compared to Cleveland? For example, when Toronto played Cleveland, like you have
DeMar, give your best effort, do the best
Kyle
you can.
And DeMar, and that's basically LeBron and Kyrie against a superpower.
That's why LeBron was saying again after the game, "Hey, I did everything I could." I think he was speaking to his critics and his haters who are constantly all over him. People are always going to bring up the fact that he's 3-5 now in the finals, and that's another thing when you compare him to Jordan. Jordan went 6-0. But as I said earlier, going over the seven teams or eight teams, eight times he's been to the final, only two times can I say definitively he was on the better team. Twice. His first 2 years when Miami got to the finals against Dallas and Oklahoma City, they were definitively the best team. The next two, the final two in Miami, they played San Antonio. I would say it was a wash. They were both great teams. Cleveland, over the past 3 years, has been the underdog in every series. Golden State is absolutely better than them all 3 years. And in a way, Cleveland should just be lucky they got one last year.
No kidding. Yeah.
You got your ring. They can't steal that from you.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. They can't go back and win game 5, 6, 7 when they were up 3-1.
That's the scary part is Golden State should have...
They should have three.
Three in a row right now.
Absolutely. And with the prospects of them winning 4, 5, 6 in a row. Because they're going to win again next year. It's over. If Durant comes back, it's over, man. And he's going to come back and Steph will sign the big deal.
Is it the lock of the century?
I would say of the big four sports, it's got to be. They have to be more favored than any other favorite in baseball, football, or hockey.
The Patriots getting back to the Super Bowl?
Golden State, way better odds. Way better.
How are they going to make the money work, though? How do they keep that group together? Because don't you think the supporting cast will be like, you know what, I want to go to another team and be a bigger factor. A guy like Klay Thompson, is he going to put up with that and say, I'm tired of kind of, I like this, it's winning, it's everything, but maybe I could go somewhere else and be the guy or the top two guys.
But why wouldn't you?
That's what always happens. And they're like, I want more money.
You got two rings, though, but that's the thing, though. You have one. That's the one thing that you do. That doesn't get brought up enough. Like, the drive to win, you can understand why Durant was, like, that was his night last night.
Right.
Yeah, they gave him the trophy and said, go and do whatever the hell you want with it.
He had never won before, right? Like, yeah. Steph had won before. Draymond Green had won before. Klay Thompson had won before. These guys have been there. They've done that. Now you wonder if it's a different challenge. Do I go somewhere else to try to create a winning atmosphere? Do I become a part of a younger team? Do I get Philly over the hump or Boston back to a level of prominence?
You just want to be a part. Like, why not try and win five in a row?
Well, that would be the counter if you're Golden State, right? Stick around and let's become the greatest team of all time and the greatest core of all time.
That way you can't have guys coming out of the woodwork saying, yeah, the 72-73 Sixers would have kicked your ass.
And exactly. Someone texting in saying Vegas already has Golden State at 1-2 odds to win in 2018. That means, in other words, you bet $200, you can only win 100. And I would put a mortgage payment down on them winning again.
Really?
I'd look into what the number was saying about them going 16-0 in the playoffs next year.
Wow.
They went 15-1 this year.
I don't think they're going to do it.
You don't see it?
I just...
Well, today, Vince Carter was on ESPN, and Vince was saying, kind of open to the idea of him going to Golden State. Because that's what you get. You get the older guys who haven't won, who are like, give me the league minimum. I'll hang out on the bench, and I'll just give you 15 minutes a night.
Not even.
But if you need me, I'm there as a weapon.
Yeah.
As the eighth or ninth guy. Like, that's the luxury that Golden State has.
And of course it is.
Cleveland and potentially San Antonio.
Well, Cleveland had a couple of...
It's the luxury of having talent, too. You look at Milan Lucic's decision.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid. It's like, I got a chance to go play with that guy.
Well, and we played the clip of Bruce Arthur on Naylor and Landsberg in the morning, earlier in the day. Why don't we replay that for a new audience?
Sure.
6 p.m. hour, TSN2. This is a little story that Bruce had to say that I think is going to make Leaf fans and Oilers fans
exciting,
quite happy.
On the ice after the Stanley Cup win, I asked Evgeny Malkin, like, do you have an appreciation of how hard it is to do this after the years where you didn't do it before these last two? He went, yeah, this league is so hard. Teams are coming up. And he mentioned two teams, Edmonton, Toronto. Those are the two first teams that came to his mind in terms of the teams that are coming, because they have the two best young players of their generation, respectively.
It's a pretty good sales pitch.
Yeah.
Hey, you should come play in Toronto or Edmonton. Malkin thinks that they're the real deal.
That'll make you horned up, won't it?
Yeah, that's...
It might. It potentially could, with the mic on or the mic off. It's all the same in the end, man. It's all the same in the end.
I agree.
Although, is that defined that McDavid and Matthews are definitely the best players of their generations? I think we would say McDavid is pretty locked in. Matthews, I think, has a real shot, but is that locked in?
Give him another year.
Maybe give him another year. All right, here's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance. What's happening, Bob?
How much, boys? How about you?
We're doing all right, doing okay. I mean, we were listening to what Bruce Arthur had to say on the morning show about that story where he talked to Malkin postgame, and Malkin said, hey, it's difficult to win in this league, and look at Edmonton and Toronto chasing. Would those be the two teams, in terms of the young teams league-wide, that you expect to compete for cups in the next 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I would certainly think so. You know, you saw both teams took quantum leaps forward this year. And to the point that you guys brought up, I mean, identifiable superstar player that you can build around in Matthews in Toronto and McDavid in Edmonton, as well as, you know, a bunch of other young kids that they've accrued through years of being bad. So yeah, I think that makes sense. There's no guarantee, but if you look historically at the teams that won Stanley Cups, and it's a rather small group. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh now has three in the post lockout era, post salary cap era. Chicago's got three. LA's got two. What's the common denominator for these teams? Well, you got Taves and Kane in Chicago, and you've got, you know, well, Kopitar wasn't really a lottery pick, but Drew Doughty was a top three pick, and in Pittsburgh, obviously Crosby and Malkin. It's not the only way you win a Stanley Cup. You got to do a whole bunch of other things really, really well. But to that point, you generally need a superstar center, and Toronto and Edmonton have them.
Bob, leading up to this expansion draft, we just saw you go, I guess, O-Dog called it Ron Textall on Twitter.
He knows everything. It's all going on.
There's your a Twitter lot of activity. Account
is straight actually, fire right now, Bob. Straight fire.
Actually, no, it's actually very misleading. I just tweeted a press release.
Well, you're getting retweets.
But so it sounds like, accepted. I mean, do you anticipate now with this expansion draft looming, I mean, is everything starting to heat up now that the finals are over? Like, this isn't just draft talk. This is a time where you're going to see a lot of movement. Are you expecting a lot of movement?
Well, I don't know if it'll happen before. There's a freeze that goes into effect on Friday at 3 o'clock. I think it's Friday at 3. I just finished typing it out, all the details. But, yeah, there's basically a roster freeze that goes into effect leading up to the expansion draft. So, there may be some moves between now and Friday. I don't know how big they'll be, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we see moves. and that. But I think the real action will. A lot of the stuff that's happening now is stuff that people are cooking up with Vegas. Vegas is very busy, and they're going to have multiple deals done. But the fruit of those deals may not become apparent until next week sometime. So, you know, as Vegas starts to go to the expansion draft process, then we'll start to get a better handle on what they, you know, who they cook to deal with and what they're getting for it and those types of things. So I think there's all sorts of talk going on that front. And there's other teams that want to try to avoid losing a player and are either trying to talk with Vegas or maybe try to move a guy somewhere else so they don't get caught losing a guy for nothing on the expansion draft. But then I think the real action will start after the expansion draft and leading up to the entry draft next week. And that's when I think teams will get the heavy lifting done.
Well, and it was this time last year where all of a sudden the rumors started to percolate a little bit. Okay, what teams are going to be in on the action? What kind of players? And you heard names like Subban. You heard names like Taylor Hall. And eventually those guys were included in deals. Taking Vegas out of it, because that's the obvious team that people are focused on right now, is there a team or a player and a player status that is piquing your interest more than others?
That's a good question. I should have had some notes ready for this. I'm totally unprepared for the hard questions.
Yeah,
but,
curveball. It's like 60 minutes. You know what you're walking into.
Yeah, Larry King here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's interesting. I don't know that we'll anything of the magnitude of what we had after the draft last year when the Taylor Hall and Stamkos deciding to go back to Tampa and the Subban for Weber deal. I'd be surprised if we end up with a seismic 25 minutes like we did last year. That was post-draft, but I don't know. I'm curious to see, you know, there's teams looking for goaltenders, and obviously I'm curious to see what happens to Marc-Andre Fleury. Does he end up in Vegas? Does he end up in Calgary? Does he end up somewhere else? And that would be one name that would certainly be at the forefront of it. I'm curious to see if Minnesota trades a defenseman, and whether it's Brodin or whether it's Dumba. You know, it's I'm trying to think off the top of my head if there's anything else that really sort of jumps out at me, and I'm at a loss to come up with anything real quick.
Well, I mean, the Phaneuf stuff is interesting just based on the way it's going to play out in Ottawa and how they're right. going to have to handle it, because, you know, the reports came out over the past 48 hours that they did, in fact, approach him to waive, and then you've been reporting that he's more than likely he's not going to waive. It's not going
right.
to happen.
Yeah, we should point out I said I expect that he's not waiving, but the official part of that doesn't kick in until Friday. Friday at 5, I think, is when basically all those no-move guys have got to be, you know, clarified one way or the other. Either they are waiving their no-move or they're not waiving their no-move, because everybody's got to gear up for the expansion draft and know who's available and who's not. So nothing becomes official until later this week. But, yeah, to your point, I mean, I think the Senators are a team that are going 1-3-7 for their protection, and the three guys that they obviously want the priority to protect would be Erik Karlsson, Mark Messier, and Cody Ceci. And in a perfect world, they would expose Dion in his large contract and hope that Vegas doesn't take him, and then come back with their top four intact. I'd throw in Thomas Chabot as an apprenticing guy, and he got a pretty good defense there. But in this instance, at this point, it doesn't appear that Dion is going to waive his no move, and that means that, you know, they could lose Mathot, or they could look to trade Mathot, or they could look to trade CC, or look at various permutations between now and Friday.
How much friction do you think these conversations are causing, asking the player? I mean, I wouldn't want to do it if I was a GM, to go up to a guy and say, hey, do you mind waiving that no trade that you signed off and you're committed to? Like,
I'm sure nobody loves it. Here's the deal. I mean, if you're a general manager, listen, if I was a general manager, even though I know that it's probably not kosher to go to a guy and say, I know you fought long and hard to get this no-move clause included in your contract, but I'd like you to forget about it now. Will you do that? If I was a GM and it helped me, I would certainly do it at the risk of ticking off the player. If I was the player, I wouldn't hesitate to say if I decided, you know what, I don't want to be exposed in the expansion draft, and I don't want to take a chance, and I want to stay here, and my no move is my no move. So no, I'm not waving it. I don't blame a player for doing that either. So I can see both sides of it, and at the end of the day, one or the other is going to be supremely ticked off. Absolutely, you know, if you could be ticked off, and I'm sure when the GM is asking the player's ticked off, and then when the player says to the GM, "Nah, you don't want, I don't think I want to do it," then it's the GM's turn to be upset. So it's a business, and everybody's got their rights, and you proceed accordingly.
Well, you're right. I mean, it is a business, and things happen, and teams are going to do whatever is in their best interest. But you're also dealing with human beings here who are going to be overly emotional. And, you know, forget even approaching a guy with a no move. Just some guy being exposed, even if he's not claimed, he knows he was available to be claimed.
Yeah, it's a ruthless business.
Right.
It really is. And, you know, there's no room for... I was going to say there's no room for hard feelings. There's room for hard feelings, but I mean nobody cares. At the end of the day, it's a tough business. That's why these guys, a lot of them, get paid as much as they do for a lot of the uncertainty that comes with it.
Well, and on the flip side, and I can't imagine this would apply to the majority of players, but if you were protected, man, I'd walk in there feeling like I was on top of the world. Like you talk about a guy who might feel like he's really got some clout in that organization. I got protected. Like,
yeah, although in some instances where you've got guys with no move clauses, you know, they have to protect those guys. And so sometimes and then some of them are so obvious that, you know, like I'm sure, you know, Jonathan Toews he knows he's getting protected. Mm-hmm. But you're right, there might be some organizations where there's somebody who's on the bubble and you find out, hey, I got protected, but it's all part of the biz.
Some guy throws like a $200,000 protection party. He's just ecstatic that his team is deciding to keep him around.
And then he gets traded.
And then the next day he's traded.
Yeah, you know what, and there's a lot of, you know, here's the other thing, when these protected lists come out, you know, like Anaheim's a good example. What our understanding is that Kevin Bieksa, who's got a no-move clause, was not asked by the deadline yesterday to waive the no-move. So that means he's getting protected. Well, if Kevin Bieksa is getting protected, it likely means that Josh Manson's going to be exposed. Josh Manson's a real good defenseman. Josh Manson, as I understand it, I don't think he's getting claimed by Vegas. I think there's a deal cooked there that Vegas is going to take somebody else other than the obvious choice, and we'll get something for it. Now, what that is and how valuable it is, and that. So when we see all these protected lists and exposed lists, people are going to be going, oh, wow, look at this team. And then they're going to start building the Vegas Golden Knights. And then they're going to find out the expansion draft happens and some really good players don't get claimed. And they're going to be like, oh, what happened? You know? And it's because Vegas is getting inducements to not take certain players. So even when the lists come out on Sunday or Monday or whenever it is, you know, don't be fooled into thinking that everybody that's available is actually available.
See, that's where I think... I find that whole angle fascinating, because if you're Vegas, why would you make them a deal so they can keep Manson? Why wouldn't you sit there and say, no, I'm not making, I want him?
Well, because there's who knows what they're getting. You know, it might be worth what they believe to be more than Manson, although Manson's worth a lot. And what you also know is, if you're Vegas, you can sit there and say, well, you know what? Then they would have asked Bieksa to waive his no move, and if he doesn't waive it, then they probably would buy him out, and then they protect Manson and buy out Bieksa, and Vegas wouldn't get what they wanted from Anaheim, which is probably something tangible for, you know, whatever the deal may be. We have no idea what the deal is. We don't even know for certain that there is a deal, but I'm certainly comfortable speculating that I'd be the least surprised guy in the world that Anaheim's got a deal cooked with Vegas.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing how it all plays out, and keep the tweets hopping there, Bob, and we'll see where it goes.
May take the night off tonight and do expense reports.
That's a good
fun
call.
Night.
Yeah, you were on the road a lot. Take advantage.
Exactly. Relax.
All right, Bob. We'll talk later in the week.
Talk to you guys soon.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It. Monthly payment plans for big dreams and everyday budgets.
All this protection stuff, and we'll just goes to show you that there's so many bad contracts, I think, in the NHL. Like, where teams would just walk away from a contract in 12 seconds.
Well, the buyout angle is an interesting one, too, because there are reports out there that Matt Green is going to be bought up by the Kings. And
yeah, I mean, he missed basically the whole season with shoulder surgery. The games, it's changed, and he had fit in and when they were winning cups and stuff, but it's $2.5 million off your books off a team that is struggling to get underneath the cap.
Oh, for sure. But so, I'm saying, like, if you're looking at the way your team is set up and what's going to come, what's going to go, and expansion, right. And you know, there may be some teams that are like the no movement clause. If some guy has it somehow, I got to buy him out because can't afford to lose the other guy for nothing.
No, you're right. But that's one thing that's looming here, and Bob's right on that. You know, you can't get too excited, like if thinking that Josh Manson's available, because then they'll just do some internal house cleaning and say, yeah, okay, Bieksa. Like, well, we're not going to lose you. We're gonna head down that direction. So that's why it'd be interesting to see. And Bob's saying to people, when those lists come out, you're going to want to create a team, but you don't know the side deals. You don't know that, hey, don't touch Josh Manson. We're going to give you X player. I don't know.
Pick or whatever.
And it's second rounder. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden,
what happens if there's backstabbing?
Well, there will be backstabbing.
Like an agreement to a deal, but then McPhee is like, actually, we changed our mind.
And we're going to take that guy. Remember that guy you said?
Reclaim.
That'd be so greasy.
It would be greasy.
But like, you could get maybe, okay, we're not going to take Manson, but we'll take Cogliano and a second rounder.
Listen, Vegas is in a great spot. Like, I don't think they're going to be very good, but
no, but they're going to be better than we were in Minnesota and Columbus. I think there's a deeper talent of pool to choose from this time around.
And that's with the picks coming in and all the side deals and all that, that's a bit different as well.
And even look at the pool of goaltenders available. That helps a team out right away.
We've got a giveaway to get to. We're going to be doing this every day this week.
Really?
We gave it away yesterday. 2-for-1 gift card giveaway this Father's Day. Give the old man what he really wants, pizza. Win dad a $100 2-for-1 pizza gift card every day this week on Overdrive. Details up on the website, tsn1050.ca. First caller up at 416-870-1050. First one in to name a famous father-son duo in the sports world.
Wow.
Lots of options out there. But you got to get creative. First one in at 416-870-1050 is going to win the gift card. You all right?
I'm all set. My mic's
father,
up.
Father-son duo.
What are your Father's Day plans?
I don't really have any yet. Maybe mix in 18 if I can.
Really?
That's the hope.
I got
you? 18?
18, and then a barbecue with my brother in his Speedo in the backyard.
Maybe a Jays game on in the back.
Bunch of mosquitoes.
I've got a lock, man.
Photos.
You doing photos on Father's Day?
Like, I don't know what they're called. They're
like portraits and stuff?
Pregnancy photos.
Yeah, there's some term for
maternity photos.
Maternity photos.
Yeah, with Beyonce back there.
I know you're pregnant, Steph, but you could have picked another day besides Father's Day.
We did choose another day, but we got rained out.
Oh, so you had something going
non-gi.
Before. Non-gi. Yeah, the Father's Day, that's a tough one, Steph. Well, I got to be honest.
Non-gi. Non-gi.
Although it is your kid, too, at the same time.
Yeah, it is my kid. I'm fine with it. I'm excited.
Are you guys going to do the naked family maternity photos?
No, that's really
disgusting.
Are you going to do the one where the dad has his shirt off and he kneels down and he holds the baby belly?
No, that's ridiculous.
There are some really weird maternity photos.
Nobody wants to see my hairy back.
I did one of those, and I said, you get my barrel in this photo, I'll shut down your photo operation.
I may have to wear a sandal in this.
Like, you can get my arms or whatever. You get my barrel in it, I'll shut your photo place down with Twitter and social media.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
I don't blame
you.
I wouldn't want that either.
I may have to wear a sandal in the picture.
Yeah, you broke your toe now.
I broke the one that
this
went
guy's
to
the loophole of radio.
My back and my toe right now. I think I am, but it's like the the one that went to market, it really doesn't care. It doesn't matter. That
it
toe.
Looks disgusting. I'm just pointing that
dude,
out.
Dude, it was. But. It made Shaq's toe look like Heidi Klum.
No, it didn't. Shaq's toe was giant and facing the other way. This one's just purple and gross. Maybe
it's
black.
Not, it's kind of like Shaq.
It changed
it's a
colors.
Forklift foot. You're Mama it, June.
I'll be fine within a couple days.
All right. Might catch up with PJ Carlesimo.
No.
Is this
not.
Guy handing us the dust?
No, it's not. We'll explain the backstory and we'll look back on game 5 of the NBA Finals. Jays back in action tonight as well. Back in town with Tampa. Taking on the Blue Jays down at the Rogers Center. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Martin, a little bit antsy, waiting for the draft list to come out. I'm Scott Ferguson with the TSN 1050 Sports Center update. It's a tenuous time for more than a few NHLers waiting to find out if their teams have protected them heading into the Vegas expansion draft. Leafs Matt Martin realizing it's a trying time for the GMs, too.
I can't imagine being a GM right now and trying to make those decisions. So it will be an interesting time. I think it's June 18th if the list comes out. And then I guess we'll kind of know a little more about our fates around that.
The Blue Jays trying for a sixth time to reach the 500 mark tonight when they take on Tampa Bay at Rogers Center. Marco Estrada, 4-4, facing Rays rookie righty Jake Faria, who's making his second major league start. And Dion Phaneuf telling the Senators he will not waive his no-movement clause. Now more Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog and the voice of Toronto Sports, TSN 1050, Toronto.
This one out for our other producer, Al.
His real name is Joe.
No. It's Joe Narsa. I don't know how that came about, but you just thought he looked like an Al?
I said, is your name Al? I don't know your name. He said, no, it's Joe.
Here's the other thing, is the producer working on the show that day always emails us. So you never got an email from a Joe Narsa? Or you just flushed those?
I've gotten emails from... It was one of those things, though, I wanted is it, like, I tried to, and I just said,
"You wanted,
buddy, what's your name? Is it Al?" He said, no. So I thought it was Al for some reason.
So let me get this straight. You had no idea what his name was, but you just, instead of asking him what his name is, you asked him, like, almost with a statement, is your name Al? Or your name's Al, right? Was that kind of the way it went?
Yeah, I'm like, are you Al? And he said, no, Joe. He looked like an Al or a Joe, and I thought Al was the one.
He kind of looks like an Al.
Yeah.
I could see Al.
Yeah, he does have a little Al to him, but he's an
Al
or a Joe.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, he's a Joe.
His real name is Joe, and that's all that matters.
And boy, was he rattled yesterday.
He was flustered back there.
You can call me Al.
He did a great job yesterday.
He did. He got Ray Ferraro on.
Yeah.
Great work, Al.
You can call me Al. This is what...
Paul Simon.
Paul Simon.
Would you go see Paul Simon?
I would.
I would.
I'd like to see him.
And I would have a good time.
Garfunkel, too.
Garfunkel, no one really cares about Garfunkel.
What are you talking about?
Simon, it's... Paul Simon's the guy. I mean...
No, that...
What about Garfunkel
Hello
impresses
darkness,
you?
Hello, darkness, my old friend. That song is...
Is that specifically Garfunkel, though?
It's them as a duet. He can't do it by himself. He will, but...
Paul Simon had a lucrative post-Garfunkel career.
My understanding is that they both were... They didn't get along for a long time because Art Garfunkel was very difficult to work with.
What kind of a handle is Art Garfunkel?
I don't know if he's called a rock star. He has the voice of an angel, though. Great singer.
I find all those duets, man, they always run into issues. Like
Sonny and Cher, they got divorced.
All the time. Hall and Oates. After a while, they all start to hate each other.
You talk about talent. Daryl Hall is extremely talented. Oates is the guy with the mustache who plays the guitar. He does a little
He's
backup.
Right.
He's very good, too, but it's Daryl Hall who is brilliant, I believe. Maybe I'm misspeaking.
I'll trust you on that. I don't know a lot about him.
I love Hall and Oates are outstanding. They're outstanding.
Speaking of duos, what are you guys doing August 26th?
I can tell you right now, looking at my schedule.
Nothing planned that's really on the docket?
That's a Saturday night. I got a wide open night if you're...
Well, I might have the boys over. Get down to the man cave that night. Because
what do you got?
According to ESPN's Dan Raphael, that will feature Mayweather v. McGregor.
What the hell? What is it going to be, though? Is it
Boxing?
It's going to be a boxing fight in Vegas. According to Rafael, Mayweather's camp is going to send that date to the Nevada State Athletic Commission for approval, which seems a little bit quick to me, August 26th. I mean, we're into mid-June.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess they've been promoting the fight for a while. Like, everyone knows, even though it's not been official, but...
Here's the thing that would be crazy if somehow you never see Mayweather get hit. If McGregor found a way to get to him and hit him,
how's he going to do that though?
McGregor is a hell of an athlete. Like I know he has to change sports, but it's not like his sport is bowling and he's going to play basketball.
True. I mean, he's taken a punch in the face before.
This guy
and he's
takes
punches
and throws punches, but he throws arm bars and kicks around. Like, it'll be interesting to see. I could see a disqualification because McGregor is like, I've had enough of this. I'm going to, like, scissor kick this guy in the head.
That's what I see happening.
Or get an arm bar or attack him or something.
Even if it's just instinctual, you know what I mean? Like, Mayweather's got him cornered and he's like, screw this, I'm going to hit this guy with a spike or something.
Yeah.
Get him on the ground and just choke him out.
I don't want to go all the way to the man cave out in Winnipeg where you live and watch a 3-second fight.
Yeah, but it's the process leading up to it.
Yeah, get out there for dinner. We'll, you know, I don't know if there'll be, like, will there be a card? This is such a unique event.
I don't want to see the other card. I'm not watching anything. I want to get to your house. Cheese, crackers, pickle, I'll bring that.
Yeah, you better, because I'm not supplying it.
No, I don't even need the kubasa. Lasagna?
That I can supply.
Some nice cocktails, conversation, and then put the fight on.
Fine.
See, they've...
Happily.
You got a back deck?
I got a backyard.
No deck?
There's no wood, but it's, you know.
2 weeks later, we'll build a deck.
It's enough.
2 weeks later, there's a UFC
in
Edmonton.
Three of us, Mark and Larry, we'll build you a deck.
What do you need a deck for, though?
Dude, like you need a deck. You can chill out back there.
What's the difference, though, between a deck and just a backyard that, you know, I got stone laid down and all that kind of stuff, concrete or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like a backyard area.
There's a sitting
What's the
area?
Difference?
Yeah.
No difference. Why do you need to be on wood to be like, wow, this is really
you got that.
The ambience?
Just get some chairs out there. Get a TV
I got chairs.
Outside.
I'm going to sit. No, I'm sitting inside because there'll be mosquitoes and probably gross.
By late August, you'll be okay.
I'm telling you, there will be mosquitoes.
Man, we really pissed off Dave. He emailed in saying, "Are you guys crazy?" Garfunkel
was very talented.
I can't even read this guy's email. It's obscene.
Why, was he swearing at
you? Yeah, he's swearing about how much better Garfunkel was than Paul Simon.
I said he had the voice of an angel. Isn't that a compliment?
Read his email, not the swears.
Garfunkel blows the blank out of Simon.
Yeah. I thought he was very talented.
Well, your email blows. So
yeah, keep it PG, Dave.
Yeah.
Whatever your name
Dave.
Was.
Well, he's just passionate about Art Garfunkel. Art Garfunkel had some hair on him.
Yeah, I know.
He had like a weird mad scientist hair, like the Bob Ross hair.
Kind of looked like our buddy Dallas Braden a little bit.
Yes, he had the Dallas Braden hair. Now, I don't know what went sideways with these two, but...
Paul Simon's the guy. Come on, Garfunkel.
I think Simon was the face? The face of them. I think Garfunkel was a real true talent.
You now, think so, huh?
I think I just believe he had a really... unreal voice. That's all I remember.
Well, was that, you can call me out, was that Simon and Garfunkel, or was that Simon
just,
on his own?
I think that's just Paul Simon on his own. Now, I could be wrong.
If Carlissimo's not calling in, just play the song again.
All right. Yeah, load up that song again, okay, Mullins? Let's play it,
let's
man.
Get some backstory here on these two characters, though.
All right, you look that up. I'll read another email here. Frank emailing in, live at tsn1050.ca.
I think it's just Paul Simon.
This is a great song.
He went on like a solo
Dude,
tour.
This is a legit song.
This is Paul Simon solo? I'm getting this on iTunes, man. I'm right on iTunes after the show. I'm downloading this track.
What you should do is go to YouTube and watch him perform it live. Because that's cool. I like that stuff. I watched it live.
What the hell is this song about, though? You can be my bodyguard? You can call me out?
Yeah, I don't know why. His name's Paul. Why would... I don't know.
What does the song mean?
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal.
He does have a great book. See, we don't know the words. You're humming along and then, call me.
I just blatantly got caught not knowing
the
words.
Yeah, you're just like humming along.
You can call me out.
Apparently, Hall & Oates are in town on Monday at the ACC.
Wrong.
That's a non-gi for you?
Quiet.
That's a non-gi for
you? Nah, I'm not a big fan.
I've seen Hall & Oates live in a smaller venue. Daryl Hall did not need a microphone.
Really?
His voice was so powerful. It was unreal.
Frank emailing in saying the Everly Brothers... What happened there? The Everly Brothers once had a fist fight on stage. Stopped talking to each other. Well, and so did the Fogerty Brothers from Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Recently, isn't it the... they just performed in England. The one brother showed up.
Oasis, the Gallagher brothers.
One's a dink, and the other one's a normal person.
I think they're both kind of idiots, to be honest.
Really?
The lead singer, I get them mixed up. I think it's Noel.
Noel and
Liam.
Liam, yeah.
Those are the two brothers. I can't remember which one is which. But the lead singer, I think, is the guy who's kind of an idiot, but he was the one that showed up. And then he tweeted out, I can't believe the other guy didn't show up, blah, blah, blah. Anyway. All right, so moving on here. To no one's surprise, PJ Carlissimo is absolutely just giving us the Heisman.
Yeah.
He said he'd call in, but apparently he's not going to call in.
He's busy.
What do you guys make of this report, even though it's already been shot down, but I think it's going to happen, that Golden State is not going to show up at the White House. They're going to boycott Trump.
First and foremost, why would somebody even make that speculation 12 minutes after they won? Like, that's, to me, that's a media
There's no
person.
Way somebody went around and said, do you want to, that's not your first thought.
You know what the irony is?
What?
It's fake news.
It is fake news.
You're fake news.
You are fake news.
Like, it is, and it's such a, to me, that is a media-driven story.
Well, I think that's going to happen.
I agree. I think it's going to happen.
You know why? More so than the player, Steve Kerr has just been absolutely destroying Trump for months.
Yeah.
So I don't think Steve Kerr would go.
You tell you what, we always talk about, you talk about this a lot. I want an athlete, I want a coach, I want somebody in sports to have an opinion. Steve Kerr has an opinion on stuff happening outside the game.
Like social commentaries. Yes. Like that are deeply rooted in his own history. And, you know, he's talking, this is a league that is more than 80% African American.
Yeah.
And we know what Trump represents and his supporters and the NBA, and a lot of NBA players have come out and they have been staunchly against Trump and everything that he's represented. And Steve Kerr, by all accounts, I mean, I don't call him out for being disingenuous. I think he's being truthful. He's not a fan of what Trump represents. He's entitled to that as an American. You don't see it a lot, though, where coaches are willing to do it.
No.
And that is a league where you can get away with it. You're not going to see it in the NFL. I don't expect NFL, like Belichick's not going to come out and talk about Trump. He's boys with Trump.
Yeah.
Like, none, even, they're not going to do it. Very different leagues in terms of how they deal with social and cultural issues.
They were like, nope, we're not going to talk about our personal opinions. Like,
well, they went, but remember, a lot of players boycotted.
Brady
didn't go. Now, he claimed that...
Well, his mom is sick.
His mom is sick, but he could have jumped on a bird and gotten there for the day and went home. I think Brady, in his representation, said this is not in our best interest because Trump is going to just talk about your friendship forever here. But, listen, sports media in general leans to the left. It's more liberal than conservative. I think a lot of... the media will eat this up if and when they decide not to show up. We consider trailblazers.
It's not this team. It's going to be somebody else.
Someone else. It makes you wonder if Golden State does it first, will other teams decide to do it in the future? I don't know. But
the other thing, too, is if I won the Stanley Cup and I was invited, I would go not because...
I would just want to go for the picture and say, this is my team.
For what the White House stands for, not who's running it. Because Obama was there. There's been some great leaders. Yeah, if you don't like the person. But to me, that, again, I'm Canadian, and I've been had a pretty good life. So I haven't gone through some of the other things. But it's... I don't know.
The truth is, though, this is one... It's easy to do this right now against Trump. And I'm not... If it happens, I wouldn't debate the logic behind it or the reasoning behind it. And as Americans, your core values are and your rights are, you don't have to do anything. They don't have to show up just because it's a part of history. But it's easy to get away with this kind of stuff now because so many people are anti-Trump. If this happened to Obama, now selected players decided not to show up to meet Obama. We know Tim Thomas did that.
Yeah.
But if a full team said, we don't want to go to see Obama...
that would be approached very differently.
Well, yeah.
The media and the sports media would approach it very differently. Now, Obama is way more dignified, way less toxic, clearly.
Absolutely.
But it's easy to get away with this in terms of the backlash you're going to get because it's Trump and everything that Trump is going through right now.
Polarizing, right? He's polarizing. I don't think there's a lukewarm reception to him. You either love him or hate him. There's a divide, right? Whereas with Obama, you may not care for Obamacare or something that he had going, but you respected the way that he carried himself and how popular he was and how charismatic he was and passionate about sports. Like, he seemed a person that you would love to just sit and have a beer with, whereas I don't think that's the case. Although, if you're a golfer, what if the Trumpster invited you golfing? When you go golfing, you don't need to talk
politics. I've seen him at Trump West Palm before.
You've been down there?
Oh, yeah. I played Trump National, and I had breakfast right beside him.
Is it a good course?
It's one of the most unbelievable golf courses I've ever seen. It's everything. Crazy. The cart paths are like made of materials that are just ridiculous. Like the clubhouses.
The guy's standards are pretty high. I mean,
yeah.
But he loves a good Trump golf course, man. This guy he'll mix in 18 with the best of them.
Exactly.
Well, Rory McIlroy took heat a while ago when he was caught playing. Like, Peyton Manning was out a week ago with Trump. Like, and that's another thing. I think a lot of athletes are like, I can't do it because of the backlash I'm going to take.
Right.
Because he's so toxic right now. All right, we'll get to our best bets and three stars. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic and weather update. Here's Adjua.
We'll start with some good news for the afternoon commute. We had problems on the eastbound 401 at the collectors at Victoria Park. Collision had that left lane blocked. Watched everything clear. Still a drag from before Martin Grove. Northbound Don Valley Parkway problem free. Delays from Girard to north of Lawrence. You'll find the westbound Gardner jams out of the downtown core. QEW up through St. Catharines remains closed between the 406 and Ontario Street due to a transport truck rollover. And in town, the collision on Shepherd and Keele, Victoria Park and Ben Horn, and westbound Burnhamthorpe closed between Schaefer and Appleby near Martin Grove for a collision investigation. On Friday, June 23rd, celebrate Canada's 150 at Ripley's Aquarium, featuring an epic Caesar Bar poutine, music, and more. Buy tickets now at Ripley's Aquarium of Canada.com. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Adjua and CIA Bois.
Steph just said she's never heard the song You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon.
I don't know.
What world have you been living in throughout your life?
Well, boy, she can recite, you know,
Katy Perry
or Drake or something like that. But
she knows loves every Drake. Winner of The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
How have you not come across?
She's a millennial. That's why.
That's play the song no for the read.
All right, yeah. Can you
underneath
play it while
the read,
I sing?
Just quietly.
All right, play it, Moles. Hit it. Phone number is 1-800-951-6854. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Hayes. MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Hayes. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. 1-800-951-6854. MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Hayes. Al and all the boys are doing it.
Oh, yeah. Paul Simon's got a MyPillow,
I think
too.
You can bank on it. That idiot Garfunkel doesn't.
No, I'm telling you, the end of the show, Sounds of Silence.
I'm not a Garfunkel guy.
We gotta
anti-Garfunkel.
Fly. We got to fly.
All right, don't lose another night of good sleep. Our buddy Perry Lefko tweeting in asking if we knew that Call Me Al was written in honor of Ally Afraidy.
No, it isn't.
A skullet.
If you've got a skullet, you can be my long lost pal.
That's awesome.
If you've got a monkey bum,
you can be my long lost pal.
Imagine Ally Afraidy was like Paul Simon's idol.
Never know.
I love that guy.
He just saw his skullet at the All-Star game and said, we got to write a song about this guy being our pal.
You can be.
And a bodyguard.
My long lost pal.
What do you think a guy like that's up to right now, Ally Afraidy?
Ally Afraidy? I don't know. Listening to Paul Simon? We're on the radio and we're listening to it. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Nationals, under the number of the Jays game of the Yankees tonight. Throwing out 20 and you can score 62. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. Get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Steph wants us to mention that PJ Carlissimo is the only star today. The first star because His flight was delayed. He still called in.
Lost
but a couple
his luggage.
Minutes ago.
Yes, we forgive you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Although I'm
so
kind of skeptical.
Calling.
I think Steph might have had someone call into the line to make it look
exactly.
like he called
just
in.
Saving herself.
Paul Simon's the number one star.
And Art Garfunkel.
Garfunkel's an anti-star.
No way.
All right, we're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.